You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Veach Season. Welcome everybody. This is our post-combine episode. Last week we had Caleb on over from AP on the show with us from the website, you know, one of our film gurus, and he really kind of helped us break down, you know, what to look for in this past week's combine. And well, now it's over. All the testing's done. Everybody's ran around in their underwear, you know, for a couple of days. Some guys tested, some guys didn't. We'll talk about the guys who didn't. We got takes, you guys. We got thoughts, we got takes. We were going to try to have Dane Brugler come on the show tonight to kind of break this all down with us, but it turns out he has no idea who we are. And obviously we decided not even ask him. I don't think he'd be interested, but Dane, hey, you know, if you're listening to this and you're taking notes, you're welcome on the show at any point in time. Same goes for you, Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah, anyone you guys want to come on and just talk shop. We're always open to it. Also Brett Veach, you know, you want to come in and get some takes off. You're obviously, the show's named after you. You are a namesake. So, but yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight, guys. We're going to talk about, well, this also drops in the morning, but we're recording this on Sunday night. But we're going to break down everything that we've watched in the combine over the last week, and guys we like, guys we didn't like, any risers or fallers. I know that we said just last week that the combine's only useful to prove the tape, and we're staying by that. But there are some guys who we like the tape on who also came out and tested very well or tested poorly, or some guys who we didn't like the tape and then they tested poorly and we said, oh, that's why we didn't like the tape. I don't think we'll really be talking about anybody who we didn't like before the combine, where we're like, now we're like, oh, well, that guy's obviously on our draft board, right? But you know, it's fun to talk about, and there's a lot of gossip, a lot of hot goss to kind of break down. We're going to spill the tea a little bit here of what everything that's been talked about, you know, at the combine. But before we get too deep into that, as always, I'm joined with my amigo compadre numero uno, the El Bandito of Kansas City, the desperado himself, the bad boy of sports talk, radio, podcast, social media, all of it, the one and only, the mustachioed man himself, Kramer Sansone, my buddy. What's up tonight? How you doing, Kramer?
Rocky, I am on a roll, a vibe. I don't know what to explain it. The draft combine was here. It was fun. And now we have to, I guess, turn the page to free agency at some point. But you know what? I had a fun time. But first things first, though, Rocky. Some hot stuff coming your way. This upcoming Friday, your boy's back on the broadcasting mic for professional wrestling here in Kansas City, Fountain City Pro Wrestling. First show this Friday. I cannot wait. I'm all jazzed up.
All right, hit us with the details, Kramer. Where is it at? What time? How can people like attend and check it out?
So go to Fountain City Pro's website right now. And there, the show starts at 7. It's in Olathe at the Ball Center. I think that's what the right terminology it is at that place. But it's down there in Olathe. It's going to be a good family-friendly atmosphere. It's going to be great. If you want to come see me, go for it. Take a picture with me. I love pictures and whatnot. I like talking to people. If you want to talk Chiefs or wrestling or baseball, I'll be there for it. But also other wrestling-related stuff. In AEW, the Stinger, Sting. You know, he debuted back in 1985. He's having his final match tonight. So, history going down on this day.
The makeup-faced legend himself, Sting. Oh, but going back to Fountain City Wrestling real quick. hit us. Who's on the title card? Like, who's the headliner? So, who's the guy we got to be watching out for? The up and comer.
So Jay,
yeah, let us know.
So Jay Fowler is taking on Camaro Quadzilla Jackson in the main event. That's the only match I truly know. I haven't got the rundown on the match card yet, so I'm gonna be enlightened to some surprises when I get there. So I can't wait.
What's the line on that title match? What's the over under? I got to feel like Camaro Quadzilla Jackson. Like, I don't know anything, but that's my dude based upon the name. I'd lay money on him just based on his name alone.
He's a big dude. He's massive. He goes to the gym. He goes to the gym. Jay Fowler might be he's a shorter guy, about maybe 5'10". Camaro Jackson, about 6'3", had massive quads. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who wins that one.
I love it. I love a massive quad on a man.
We saw a lot of massive quads this weekend, buddy.
I know. And I like a lot of prospects with some massive quads. That's a nice segue, Crane. All right, man. Well, hey, congratulations. Getting back in the game, getting back in the wrestling game there in Kansas City. Everybody should check it out. It's going to be a good time. It's always a fun time over there at Fountain City Pro Wrestling. But moving forward, yeah, so let's talk a little bit of free agency before we dive into the combine. There's, rumors abound at the combine. Most notably, no longer a rumor, the Chiefs are planning on or have used the franchise tag on Legarius Sneed. The rumor piece of this came out that if they can't agree to a long-term contract, that they are open to the possibility of moving him via trade and gave him permission to speak with other teams to kind of fill out his market. Which is exactly what they did with Tyreek Hill before Tyreek Hill was traded. Now, with Tyreek Hill, once they gave him that permission, things moved fast and a deal was consummated pretty quickly. It's been a few days now. Crane, is this all posturing by both sides where the Chiefs say, we're going to give you this dollar amount. If you don't like it, go find yourself a trade? Or is this an actually something that is the market hot enough that the Chiefs could be fielding offers for Legarius Sneed right now, and his time in Kansas City is done?
I mean, personally, just from watching Legarius Sneed this year, I mean, he's a lockdown corner. If you need a guy that can go one-on-one with the best of the best, I mean, I don't see why, like, say, a Detroit Lions possibly, or heck, even with all the money they have and also draft picks, the Chicago Bears. Like, he seems like a guy that if he was to get traded, clearly Chiefs don't want to trade him in-house in the AFC. That's just not the forte or the motto that the Chiefs have brought to from us just watching and for experience wise. I doubt he gets traded. I think he stays in Kansas City, but I do love the fact how the Chiefs do give him that option of like, hey, if you want to like test the waters a little bit, here's your little preview of like you testing, like, let's go out there. You can go for it. There's no tampering for this thing. Go for it. I love that the Chiefs do that, but I think at the end of the day, the Chiefs will retain him.
Yeah. You got to think that the Chiefs know that they do want to retain him, and that $18 million, that's a cap hit. It is stomachable, right? To tag him at that cap number and carry that, to replace him with that caliber of player, unless you draft somebody, which we will talk about some nice cornerback prospects that we saw this weekend, at the combine, but you're going to be spending that much money in free agency if you're trying to. And he's the number one cornerback in free agency. But you are right. There are a number of cash-rich teams right now who need a guy like Sneed, who need a guy who can kind of do everything. And the Detroit Lions would be a great fit for him. Chicago Bears would be a team that's not in the NFC that is very cash-rich, that I'm not sure if the Chiefs would entertain. The Houston Texans, I could see them being very interested in a guy like Sneed. We've already seen that the Chiefs are okay with trading within the AFC when they traded Tyreek Hill. They just don't want to trade within the division.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that those could be some possibilities, but I do agree with you. I think that I honestly think this might be like, kind of like, in some of your less healthy relationships you've had in your life where, maybe a significant other was basically like saying like, you aren't crap, you aren't nothing. And then you say, listen, you think you can get a better deal, go out there and find it, right? If you think you can find better than this, then go out there and find it. But I'm in the top 10%, baby. And if you think that you can find something better than the top 10%, then go out there and find it. And I kind of feel like that's kind of what the Chiefs are doing with Legarius Sneed right now.
What I'm curious, though, for you, for your sake, would you want them to at least try to find or come to terms on a long-term extension for him to stay here in Kansas City? Because I think that at some point, maybe a four-year, maybe a 3 or 4 year might be the max that he's going to get. Maybe he's 28 years old. I mean, he's not like the oldest among corners, but he's at least somewhat been around the block, some would say.
Listen, yeah, and he was on the injury report for the Super Bowl against the Eagles with a knee injury, and then he missed over two weeks of practice in training camp last year and started the year on the injury report with a swollen knee. It hasn't been anything that's been like too serious that's caused him to miss significant time, but he's been on the injury report for knee injuries in the past, so that's always kind of a concern. He is 28 years old. I think that with Legarius Sneed, he's going to get paid. You're going to have to pay him. I think it's going to be a four-year deal, but you know that three of those years are going to be productive. And that fourth year, you kind of end up like the Xavier Howard deal there in Miami right now, right? And so so I think you may end up with something like that. Also the other big question right now is Chris Jones. And, you know, like the Chiefs aren't going to tag Chris Jones because they tagged him last year, so he carries that plus 20, or they tagged him. Not last year, but they tagged him previously in his career with the Chiefs. So he carries that tag number or what he made last year plus 20%, right? So he's looking at what, like 32, 34 million, something like that, if the Chiefs tag him. The Chiefs can't carry that tag number. They don't have that money right now to tag him at that number. Now, there's things they can do to make more money, like we talked about previously, like restructuring Patrick Mahomes' contract, extending Patrick Mahomes. But really, it seems like the Chiefs are going to have to sign Jones to at least a few year deal with maybe some dead money on the back end or with a significant signing bonus on the front end, which is something that Clark Hunt in the past has not necessarily been open to. And so for people who don't understand it, when you sign a player to a large cash bonus up front or to a large guaranteed money in the contract, the cash bonus you have to pay at signing. Right, like that's why they call it a signing bonus. So we say, okay, we want to get his cap hit down to $4 million this year. So we're gonna give him a $28 million signing bonus. That means that Clark Hunt is signed a $28 million check the second that Chris Jones signs that contract, instead of it being broken up over game checks throughout the season, right? And so that's something that Clark Hunt in the past has not necessarily been amiable to. Now you got to wonder with the recent reviews that came out about Clark Hunt being ranked the 32nd, ranked dead last of all owners
for apparently the worst of the worst, reasons. Even though he's
apparently
the best
worst of the worst. Even though he's the most successful, if because of that, he is more willing to kind of step outside of his comfort zone and do some things he hasn't done in the past. Time will tell. But what do you think, Kramer? Like, and that's the whole thing. It's like Jones isn't young either, so they're going to have to sign him to some bad money on the back end as well.
Did you see what the contract that he's getting, like, almost per year, it seemed like? I mean, he's getting almost, like, what, 40? You could get $40 million per year. And, like, what I enjoy about the cap being risen is the fact that players like a Chris Jones or like a Sneed or some other guys that we could mention a little bit later on, their mindset right now is, like, that went up. My dollar amount's going up too because there's a surplus of money in the back end that I can actually dip my toes in to grab. He's going to get paid, Rocky. Like, I don't know if it's the right thing to do to overpay him, but a team is going to if it's not the Chiefs, will overpay for Chris Jones's talent, and it's going to happen.
Oh, 100%. And to think that he's going to give a hometown discount,
that's not going to happen.
It's wishful thinking, but it's naive. Like, honestly, we could be talking about $20 million in difference, and $20 million is still $20 million, regardless of going for a three-peat or not. And the thing about it is, like, Justin Jefferson said that he's seeking between 30 and 37 a year. Like, that's what came out of his camp. He wants to be He wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback by the end of this offseason. And so he's like, the number they're floating around is 34 to 37. So if Justin Jefferson's looking for 34 to 37, then Chris Jones looking for 30 isn't even close to the top of market anymore.
Especially with that tag. I mean, we saw that tag's going to be like $33 million, I think it was, or 36, if you were to tag him. So, I mean, it was a bargain tag, and Snead to figure out a deal for Chris Jones, because that's money you can actually work for since you got the cap up. Jones is about to get the Brinks truck. I'm all for it. Go get your money. If the person's going to offer you that money, take the money. Like, seriously, if you see that dollar amount that it looks right for you, grab it. Hit the deal button on Deal or No Deal. Take the money. But, man, someone's going to overdo it.
Oh, 100% they are. He's going to get, like 3 years, $100 million from somebody, right? That's the fact. Man. He's going to get 3 years, $100 million from somebody, and that's what the market is going to be. And the Chiefs are going to have to decide if they want to play in that market. Now, here's the scary thing, or maybe not the scary thing, depending upon how you look at it. If the Chiefs trade Legarius Sneed, you would hope they can at least get a second-round draft pick for him. Maybe it's only a third. But you would think that he can at least pull a later second-round draft pick. You're talking about maybe pick number 61 from the Detroit Lions. Like, that would be something that seems like decent value for him. But if you trade Snead and then you sign and then you let Jones walk, you suddenly have $28 million in cap space. And you still have the option to either convert some of Patrick Mahomes' contract to bonus or to extend him to create some more money. I think they have more than $28 million now. I have to check our cap gurus, Jared and John, but they had $28 million before they released MVS, right? So they probably looking at close to what, like 35, 40?
You're at least hovering around that
cap
mark.
Space, somewhere around there.
And that's before restructures too.
Yeah. And so with that being said, are they in on a guy like Mike Evans for a 1 or 2 year rental? I know he's 31 years old. I know he's asking $24 million ish a year.
I saw 25.
Maybe 25. I saw 20. They said between 24 and 27 for him. It was what Diana Russini with The Athletic was putting out there this past weekend. Is he worth it? Yeah. For a 1 or 2 year rental, he is worth it. If you have to sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal and pay dead money on the back end, maybe I'm not so for it. But if you could draft a wide receiver in this draft, plus get Mike Evans on a 2 year rental, and then you have Rashee Rice, a first or second round draft pick at wide receiver, and Mike Evans, that's a pretty potent offense to pair with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes to kind of try to run this thing back as a three.
Rocky. They don't need Mike Evans. It's the Chiefs. They didn't have a Mike Evans on their team. They didn't have a person that was similar, close to what Mike Evans did for them right now. But they won the Super Bowl. Like, do you really think that they need to go out there and spend $25, $26, $27 million on a 31-year-old wide receiver when, one, you could draft a guy. Two, you can use that money and try to bring back Chris Jones. Like, if you're having, again, the question mark whether or not you want to spend the money for a wide receiver or get your Patrick Mahomes on defense, his name is Chris Jones. Like, I'm going with spending that money on the Chris Jones guy. I don't think they should kick the tires on Mike Evans. I know he probably wants to. He's already said that he wants to make sure he's on a team that wins, makes the playoffs, possibly have the chance to make Super Bowl. I mean, the Chiefs look like the best landing spot for him, but do the Chiefs really – do they really want to get a guy like Mike Evans? Like, I'm looking this on from the outside in with how I see and view the Chiefs. Like, you're a diehard, thick and thin Chiefs fan. Do you really want Mike Evans there?
So here's where it gets tricky. Do I think that Mike Evans – Am I banging the drum 100%? We have to have Mike Evans or else the offseason is a failure. No, not at all. If Chris Jones wants, say, 3 years, $100 million, and the Chiefs are like, no, and Legarius Sneed is traded, am I okay with them giving Mike Evans 2 years, $50 million? Yes. Do I want him over Chris Jones? No. if Chris Jones is no longer an option and the Chiefs have the money sitting there, is he a good consolation prize? Heck yeah. Do I love my wife. I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful family. I have two kids who are my pride and joy, my reason for living. And so do I need a long walk on the beach with Halle Berry? No. But do I want one? Yes. Yes, I do. Very much so.
Me too.
Exactly. We all do. This is the official Halle Berry draft podcast of the Kansas City Chiefs, everybody.
No, but I respect that, though. I do. I bet you can find another one out there. Like, get it. I mean, Tyler Boyd. I'd rather have Tyler Boyd on my team than Mike Evans. Like, that's just me personally.
At that money. At the money that they're both going to be asking.
Tyler Boyd, you're going to get cheaper. Boyd. Yeah, you're going to get him cheaper. He's the exact same player.
I'd rather have Tyler Boyd for what Tyler Boyd's asking versus for what Mike Evans is asking.
Yeah, no, hands down. And it's the same production.
So the question is, if he's not going to hit the open market, I don't think, but if you're going to be paying that money to Mike Evans, why don't you pay that money to T. Higgins and make it a four-year deal that's actually going to, like,
that would make more sense.
4 years.
That would make more sense. Yes. Because, like, the age is definitely the factor. And I know the injury history with T. Higgins. I know he's not a free agent or anything. So we don't have to go too farther into this. But if, say, he was, and you had the choice between Mike Evans or T. Higgins, I would hope you would have sent the bag to T. Higgins because, one, younger, two, has probably more longevity than what Mike Evans has right now.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. I do think, though, that also Brett Veach kind of feels like he wants to make a splash on offense to kind of offset the bad taste in the mouth that a lot of Chiefs fans had over the offense last year, even though that's dumb to say because we won the Super Bowl.
It's so dumb.
Like he has nothing to apologize for. He has no, he doesn't have to answer questions to anybody.
He's got the point to his knuckles where his third ring's at.
Yeah. Were the Chiefs wide receivers god awful for stretches of last year? Yeah, they were horrible. They were laughable. But guess what? Like, tell it to my ring. You know, like, you don't have to answer to anybody, Brett Veach, because you won another ring because you got Patrick Mahomes, you got the cheat code, you got Andy Reid, you got Steve Spagnuolo. So maybe the Chiefs go for Mike Evans. Maybe they go for another veteran wide receiver in free agency. I do think they're going to bring in a veteran wide receiver. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be a lower tier guy, like you said, like Tyler Boyd
or Hunter Renfrow?
Yeah,
he's on the chopping block right now. He hasn't been released.
You would love that. You would love that.
Hey, I would buy a Hunter Renfrow Chiefs jersey. I would hang it right there, right where that logo is. The logo that we shall not speak of because you know it's not their type of podcast.
Don't point to that logo on this Chiefs podcast. Put your head back over it and block it where people can't see it.
There.
Yeah, point to your cat. Your cat's fine, but keep your head in front of that Raider. If, for all of our audio listeners, Kramer Sansone has a Raiders logo on his wall behind him.
It's mounted. I can't take it down or it might pull.
He has been instructed to put his beautiful face over that to block it as much as possible so that we cannot see it on this podcast. It literally makes me want to vomit into my microphone every single time I see it. But I digress, Kramer.
Fun fact. I'm sorry. This has just popped in my head. The only Chiefs thing I owned here, Chiefs related, was a Kareem Hunt bobblehead a friend gifted me. The sad part about it was it fell off my fridge and it's shattered a million pieces.
RIP Kareem Hunt bobblehead.
Yep.
Tragic ending to a tragic Chiefs run. Moving on from Mike Evans, moving on from Snead and Jones. Like we mentioned a little bit earlier, MVS was gone. This was to be expected. This was the we talked about this in our first episode of the season. It was the easiest way to create cap space for somebody who, although he had some nice plays in the playoffs, was just unreliable and unproductive in the regular season. I thank MVS for all of his contributions to these Chiefs championship runs, but at the cap hit of what, $12 million, you couldn't keep him at that cap number. So
especially with
his MVS is gone. Yeah, now his production was like 247 yards in the regular season or something like that. Like it was not like it would have been a crime to keep that contract, you know, coming into this year. I don't think there's going to be a hot market for MVS. So Maybe he comes back on a league minimum deal later on in the offseason. We'll have to wait and see about that.
That would be funny. I would actually thoroughly enjoy that. I can already see how our post game him making some big spectacular catch on the Serta on our post game show just mark out to him. That'd be great.
Hey, I would love it. Hey, listen, my dissatisfaction with MVS was centered entirely around the amount of money he was making compared to the production that he was having this year. If he's back on a league minimum deal or say like $2 million, like sure, make four plays throughout the course of the season and you're worth it. Like, you know, it's fine. But also around the league, the Atlanta Falcons have moved on from Jonnu Smith at tight end. That's a guy who is kind of an athletic field stretching tight end, kind of a big guy. Was paired up with Arthur Smith at a couple different locations. What do you think? With Travis Kelce getting a little long in the tooth, the Chiefs need to find another passing threat at tight end. Would you be interested in Jonnu Smith, or do you think that with free agency around the corner, you're more interested in a guy like Noah Fant or Mike Gesicki or something like that?
I think, or Gerald Everett. I think I've seen his name on the list. I don't know. Jonnu Smith's also older, and it's like, do you really need another old pass-catching tight end here in Kansas City? I mean, Travis Kelce's the best one we got, and I don't think we need to add another old into the room with him. And heck, even if is Noah Gray a free agent? Or is he still he has one more year? I think he has one more year left.
Noah Gray has one more year. He's not a free agent
yet. So, I mean, maybe they don't even do a tight end this year. Maybe they draft one. Like, I just don't see – I don't see them going out to get a pass-catching tight end this offseason.
I mean, I don't really either. They do need to add another pass-catching tight end. Noah Gray is a great compliment, but they need a guy – they either need a great pass-catching tight end or – they need another big slot who can fulfill the same role that Travis Kelce does. Whether or not it ends up being like just like another, like they could convert Rashi Rice into that role 100% if they wanted to, but then they would have to find another outside wide receiver and another slot wide receiver. So maybe that's the plan. Maybe having Mike Evans come in helps Rashi Rice push into the slot a little bit more. But, you know, so we'll just have to see how the Chiefs want to play it out.
Could get Mike Gesicki cheap, though, because he had a down year last year with the Patriots. And that was the year before that. I think he was he all pro with the Dolphins before that? Like, he just fell off the face of the earth. I don't know if it's because of his gritty that he was doing. But Mike Gesicki would actually be kind of sweet. It reminded me of when the Chiefs got Anthony Fasano. He was a former Dolphin that was here in Kansas City. He had a couple of good catches as a Chief. I mean, why not?
Mike Gesicki is 20 times the receiver that Anthony Fasano ever was at any point in his career. I'd be a big Mike Gesicki fan. I think he'd do great in the Chiefs offense. I really, if I had to choose one guy who I think that the Chiefs could go out and spend some money on as a free agent, would be Noah Fant. He was really productive in Denver, was pretty productive still in Seattle. I would, honest to God, with Blaine Gabbert being a free agent also, I'd love to see the Chiefs bring in Drew Lock to back up Patrick Mahomes and bring him home to Kansas City and then bring his buddy Noah Fant with him and just let them
let them
both be on the Chiefs together. I think that'd be awesome. But let's turn our attention to the draft. Free agency is coming up. We're going to dig big time into free agency next week and kind of talk about like plans of action. We'll have a little bit more clarity, hopefully, with the Jones and Snead situations by that point. So we'll really kind of dig into free agency on next week's episode. But today we're going to talk combine. And the first thing to talk about at the combine is the quarterbacks. There were guys who put on a show, some guys who did not show. Some guys who did nothing, some guys who maybe underwhelmed. And so we're just going to go through them, Kramer, and we're going to say, is a guy being overlooked or is he being overrated? And to start things off, we're going to start it right off at the top with the guy who's the presumed first overall pick in the draft, the USC quarterback, God's gift to Southern California football. The presumed future quarterback for the Chicago Bears, the guy who's been told he's a prodigy his entire life, I'm sure, Caleb Williams. Is he being overlooked or is he currently overrated?
He's 100%, in my opinion, I think is overrated. Like, if you even go back to his games that he played in college just last year, I like looking at years prior, but what'd you do recently? And in a recently bias, the biggest games that he played in this past year, he didn't win those big games. And what can that prove to me this upcoming year? And also, not doing anything basically at all at the draft combine. It's just showing up. You're not throwing to anybody. You're not doing any type of skills or agility. You're there just to show, to save face, because you said that you're pretty much there so you don't get fined, even though you wouldn't get fined if you don't show up there. So why'd you even show up? Don't even know. I can't stand it. I haven't been a big fan of him at all this year, and I don't think he's the number one guy. And I actually kind of feel bad for Justin Fields. Has all the stuff going on. It's like, oh, yeah, nope, Caleb Williams looks like the guy in Chicago. No, I don't think he's overrated, Brocky. And I know you – I'm curious what you have to say, buddy.
I actually 100% agree with you. I am not a big Caleb Williams fan. I know that might be draft blasphemy. But like you said, what are you scared of that you're not going to show up and throw to a single wide receiver in shorts where you get to stare the guy down on a throw that you've made 1,000 times before? Like, these are the simplest practice throws you've ever thrown in your entire life. You don't even have to run the 40-yard dash. You don't got to do a broad jump. You don't got to do anything else but show up and throw footballs. And it's easy footballs to throw and show people, show off your arm and throw a couple deep balls. We saw last year that Bryce Young skipped the combine and CJ Stroud went out there and put on a show. And if you guys listen to the Veach season last year, you'll remember I said all along CJ Stroud was my quarterback one, and I was not a Bryce Young believer. And it really, really bugs me when these guys don't show up and perform at the combine. This is your biggest job interview that you will ever have. And you say, I'm going to show up, but I'm not actually going to show you my qualifications. And I'm not basing everything I say on Caleb Williams based upon him not being at the draft either. After he won the Heisman last year, he said that there wasn't a single throw that Patrick Mahomes makes that he can't make. Sure, maybe physically, but you don't see the field the same way as Patrick Mahomes does right now. Maybe someday you will, but you don't. And as a college quarterback, to compare yourself to the greatest quarterback of all time is like, know your role and shut your mouth a little bit, in my opinion. And then beyond that, they played 4 ranked teams this year and they lost 5 games. They lost to all 4 ranked teams that they played, and they lost to UCLA. You can't lose to UCLA as a USC quarterback, and you lost to UCLA as your final game as a USC quarterback. What happened each time after Caleb Williams lost a game? He progressively got more upset and handled it like more and more poorly, right? And so, like, after the first one, he was on the sidelines. He was down, had his head in his hands. His teammates were consoling him. Instead of being the leader on the sideline, his teammates were consoling him after he lost the game. Fine. You love the game of football. You're passionate. Then he loses his next game. He crawls into the stands, crawls into his mother's lap, pulls a towel over his head, and cries in the stands. And people said, what a passionate player he is. And look, he's just a college kid. Like, give him a break, da-da-da. And you're right. He is just a college kid. Give him a break. Sure, give him a break. But guess what? You're no longer a college kid at this point. You're a professional football player, right? The third game he lost, he didn't show up to the press conference after the game. Win, lose, or draw, you put your butt in front of the microphone and you stand up there and you take the heat for your team. How many times did we see Patrick Mahomes this past season stand up there and take the heat for his receivers that were underperforming and defend them and have their back? So, like, my concern about Caleb Williams, that he is one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks that we have seen in a very long time, and he has no grit to him at all. That when he faces opposition and when things get tough, he crumbles because he's been told for so long that he is this special and unique talent, right? I think I've told this story before. There's a band I like called Boy Genius. It's an all-female like indie rock band, and they won a couple Grammys this last year, and their entire name of their team is based upon them coming up in the music industry and being surrounded by these guys who've been told their entire life what a special talent they are and how precious they are, and how anytime that they're questioned artistically on anything, they think that they're infallible. And they're like, no, I could never be wrong. And they're just impossible to work with. I think that Caleb Williams is the equivalent of that in NFL football. I could very well be wrong, but if I'm the Chicago Bears, I think long and hard about replacing Justin Fields with him. Now, maybe there's another quarterback in the draft that we like more and we go with him instead, and we'll talk about those guys soon. But enough about Caleb Williams, but that's my take on it. I think that Caleb Williams has bust written all over him unless he grows up and learns how to take some accountability and learns how to lose and just develop some toughness. You never I hate the Bills, but you never see Josh Allen crying. You never see Josh Allen not taking like the toughest L's in the world. Lamar Jackson, all these guys who are great NFL quarterbacks. Heck, for your sake, Derek Carr, for God's sakes, Derek Carr always took an L with respect. And like,
very true.
Like you're a professional NFL quarterback. You're not a college kid anymore.
Well, look at Trevor Lawrence. Never lost a game his entire time being a quarterback until he got to Jacksonville. He still took the heat, even though he had one of the worst coaches, coach in the NFL with Urban Meyer there. But, I mean, Caleb Williams, come on now. Like, get your thumb out of your mouth. It's time to grow up.
It's like Dick Vermeil once said about Larry Johnson. It's time to take off the diapers and be a big boy.
Exactly. Right? You know?
So Caleb Williams needs to take off his nappies, get off his mom's lap, and get on the sideline and do a post-game press conference. So I'm saying Caleb Williams overrated. Next guy, presumed number two in the draft, Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina, had an up and down year production wise. Also, didn't throw at the combine. Kramer, is he overlooked or overrated?
It's hard with him because I want to teeter around both sides, but the side I'm more leaning towards now, because I mean, he didn't throw and I kind of want to see him throw a little bit more. He's overrated. I need to see if you are willing to put yourself out there to try and better yourself and you have the opportunity to do so and you don't, concerns me. And because like the combine's watched by millions and millions of people. Heck, there's so much clips on social media where people are just engaging it that way. Why not go out there and make a big throw like we saw what Joe Milton did, which we'll talk a little bit later on. But it's like that's the time to shine a little bit more. And you're not out there doing it. That's why I got to say he's a little overrated.
I listen. This is people are going to come down to say that we're haters, but I'm going to say overrated as well. Like, you lost a lot of wide receivers this year, but you still had DeVontez Walker. You still had Bryson Nesbitt. Both those guys are going to get drafted as wide receivers. Your production was up and down. You made some bad decisions on the tape. Your tape isn't perfect. You have a very live arm. He moves well. He's decisive when he runs the ball. I like his tape a lot. He handled losing 10 times better than Caleb Williams. Everything that I just knocked Caleb Williams on outside of the combine, Drake May has that. And so for that, I give Drake May the edge over Caleb Williams. I do think that Drake May is overrated, but I still think that he's my quarterback one, if that makes sense.
Really?
Right?
Like, okay, that's interesting.
I think that Drake May is my quarterback one, but I do think he's also overrated. And I don't think I think that he's more Mitch Trubisky than he is Josh Allen, right? Like, as far as the prospect goes.
I thought a little more Carson Wentz, but that's just my
sure. I'm just saying, as far as like a can't miss type of prospect,
you're right.
And so I think that Drake May is, I'm gonna give Drake May an overrated at this point. I think that he still had something to prove, and it would have been nice for him to go out there and at his biggest job interview to throw the football. Like there's like a lot of this is that agents are trying to take over the combine and protect their clients and keep them from making mistakes. But the biggest mistake you can make is to do nothing, right? Like be a person of action, stand out there, say it with your chest, throw the football and make your case for why these teams should select you. You're like, he had an opportunity here with Caleb Williams sitting out to go out there and show out and maybe get the Chicago Bears to start second guessing themselves. Right. And he let that opportunity pass by. And so I'm saying overrated, and that rolls us into our third quarterback who did the exact same things as the other two quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels. Overrated or overlooked, Kramer?
Here's the thing with me on this one. I think he's overlooked. I do. I he's my QB one of this entire draft. I think he's the best one out of this, checking the boxes, whether if it is going through your progressions, looking at your reads, making the throw, even if it is a deep ball or even a short little route. Like, I think he makes those plays 75 to 95% of the time because he has a elite mindset for him. I wish he would have thrown, though, man. Like, I wish he would have been out there to people can, like, salivate over knowing that there's nobody coming at him to tackle him when he's trying to throw a ball 75 yards downfield, because he will make that throw. I really like him a lot, but, man, I think he's overlooked. Man, it's annoying he didn't do anything in this combine.
I think that he had an opportunity to really put himself in the conversation for the second overall pick in this draft. The Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. He had an opportunity to surpass Drake May
and Caleb Williams.
He really, like, well, that's the thing too, is he offers a lot of the same things that Caleb Williams does as a player, you know, as far as like throwing off platform, throwing on the move. The big thing that Jayden Daniels is gonna have to convince NFL teams of, which he had an opportunity to do this week, which maybe he did in interviews and stuff, like, and so that I don't want to like harp on the dude too much, but like, are you as good as your tape says you are, or are you only that good because you had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr.? Yeah. You're right. You know, you have two top 20 picks as wide receivers. So is it kind of like the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing where, well, of course, you had Joe Burrow throwing you the ball. You had Ja'Marr Chase at wide receiver. You know what I mean? Like, of course you look good in that offense, right? You know, kind of thing.
You would look good in that offense.
Oh man, I would have gone for at least 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in that LSU offense when they won the Natty. I am a fullback. I would be that fullback who could just pick up 3 yards every single carry, that hard three, and I would bang through the goal. You couldn't stop me. Couldn't stop me on the goal line, baby. I got a wrestler background, got a low center of gravity. I mean, if Andy Reid ever wanted a 43-year-old fullback, call me up. I give you at least three solid plays a game. I'm strong as a buck, Andy. Put me in the game, coach. I will play for very cheap. Kramer, you want to be the Chiefs long snapper?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Be the Chiefs long snapper. I'll be the Chiefs fullback. And
Rocky, I'm sorry to say this, but Andy doesn't like fullbacks. So I'm sorry to say it, bud. You wouldn't make it here. No,
nobody likes fullbacks. But I'm just saying at this stage of my career, that's the best that I could offer you is as a fullback.
I love it.
Anyway, but Jayden Daniels, I like him a lot as a player. I think, and he's going to be a top five pick, regardless. But I do think it's hard to say he's overrated at this point, considering. Mm-hmm. The fact that he is ranked three behind two guys who I think have serious questions. He does have – I do have Drake May as my quarterback one, but if Jayden Daniels would have showed up and done what Joe Milton did, just to give me one deep ball, I would have been ready to make him my QB one because it's that close between him and Drake May.
I personally hope he falls to my team that I like.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
He won't make it to 9.
He won't. You're
dreaming. You're dreaming, Sansone. So I'm going to say overlooked. All right, coming in number 4, the first guy on this list who did perform at the combine and looked really, really, really nice doing it, Michael Penix Jr. Kramer, overlooked or overrated?
I like him. I like him, but I don't know if he's a quarterback in the NFL. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL. Maybe it might be a few more years for him, but he still has a lot to improve for himself. Whether if it is his health, and that's obviously the first concern everyone has when it comes to Michael Penix Jr. But your reads, man, like it's telegraphed. It's too telegraphed. Like you could even see that during the national championship game against the Michigan Wolverines. Like I'm a Michigan guy, and I was watching, and I'm like, okay, the defense is going to pick that off easily. And what did they do in the second half? They literally shut down Michael Penix Jr. That's what I'm concerned about, and I think that you could say he is overrated.
I would agree with you. He did look really good at the combine, but like we said, combine doesn't beat tape. And I've watched a lot of Michael Penix Jr. this year because I watched a lot of Roma Dunze, a lot of Jalen McMillan, a lot of Jalen Polk. His accuracy was all over the yard. He completed as many passes as he did because he has three wide receivers that are going to be drafted in the top 50 in this draft, right? That's the reason why Michael Penix Jr. looked as good as he did and had the numbers that he had this past year. I'm going to say overrated, but I give him a slight bump because he did show out at the combine. He did show up and he did kind of stake his flag. Next guy, we're going to move along here. JJ McCarthy, overrated or overlooked?
I'd like to say he's overlooked, but I think he's a tad bit overrated. He seems like Drew Lock. Like, I think his ceiling is Drew Locke in the NFL, and I've been behind that to this day. I know that during his pressers and whatnot during this combine thing, he was just talking about the wins that Michigan, and he helped Michigan do. And, man, he looked great doing it for Michigan and for himself. But he doesn't seem like an NFL quarterback to me. I could see him in the AAF, the XFL, the USFL. I don't know what the heck the league's called now. That's going to start here soon. But I think he's a quarterback for that league that could start. And he might surprise me, though. He could be a Kyle Trask. I mean, we saw what he did in Florida, but those are the two comps, Drew Lock or Kyle Trask from JJ.
Yeah, and so here's the deal with JJ McCarthy. He's overrated because some people who I respect immensely, like Dane Brugler, have him as a first-round pick, have him as a possible top 20 pick. He's not a top 20 pick. He has a live arm. He can make all the throws. He's really young. He's a smart kid. I think his ceiling is Kirk Cousins. I think his floor is Derek Anderson, right? That's what I think.
I was not expecting that name. Oh, that's a good pull right there, Rocky.
But I think that it's all going to come down to the coach that gets him. Right. And I think it does say something that, yeah, the Michigan had a lot of wins. They went on to win the national championship game. But there was a very large stretch in that season where they stopped throwing the ball altogether.
Yeah.
And a lot of that had to do with Jim Harbaugh getting suspended and them losing their entire passing game guru. But at the same time, they stopped trusting JJ McCarthy. And there were stretches of the year where they didn't let him throw the ball. He threw the ball 10 times a game at some points, but right?
Rocky, they're already up 40. So it's like you don't need to throw the football when you're already up that much.
They didn't throw the ball to get up 40.
That's fair. They have Blake Corum score a touchdown every game. You're right.
And so that's all I'm saying is I'm not saying he's going to be a bad quarterback, but I'm saying it depends on the system he goes to, and he's not ready made, and he's not a top 20 guy. So I'm going to say overrated. Next guy, Bo Nix, the opposite of JJ McCarthy. He threw the ball all over the yard, had more starts than any other quarterback in NCAA history, was a very productive quarterback, a coach's son, yada, yada, yada. Heisman finalist type of guy. What do you think? Bo Nix, overlooked or overrated?
Before coming into it, I thought he was 1,000% overrated, but he impressed me, Rocky. I'm going to say, I think he's QB3 in this draft. I think he is. He's got talent and he's got the starts underneath him. And I think that's also a big key factor. He's already been put in a lot of moments. He has he's got a lot of movement on his arm and he's used to it. I think he's going to be good. And I overlooked.
I think he's overlooked also. I don't think he's a top 20 pick. I don't think he's my QB3. I think he's going to be late first round pick. I think that somebody like Denver, like I think that those type of guys, I think Sean McVay, if he's looking for somebody to groom behind Matt Stafford, I think those sort of like quarterback gurus, honestly, even maybe San Francisco, like these like quarterback coaches, they're going to see his body and they're going to see his natural skill set. And they're going to realize that he is a pretty smart guy also. And he kind of already has like a really strong foundation of football knowledge. And these guys are going to just salivate over him. He's going to get with one of these quarterback coaches who are going to be picking later in round one, who kind of already have a solid roster around him. Maybe he sits a year kind of like Mahomes did. He's not Mahomes. I'm not saying he's Mahomes by any means, but I think that he is set up for success in the NFL. So I'm going to say overlooked at this point. And then our last quarterback before we move on to the rest of the combine, Joe Milton. Joe Milton, the boy who throws the ball 80 yards, 80 plus yards, almost 90 yards, turned his back while the ball was still in the air because he knew it was a completion. Joe Milton, overlooked or overrated, Kramer?
Rocky, he's overrated, man. Like, come on. It's not like somebody has pads on. He doesn't have pads on. So you're never going to have an 80-yard completion ever in the NFL. If you do, congratulations. You'd be one of very few in the league that's ever done. So I'm not sure if someone's ever made an 80-yard through the air type of pass. I know we've seen the 80-yard passes like a little slant and boom, they're gone and score. But no, come on. Like, it's cool. It's a good moment for the combine, but it's not going to ride your draft stock. This is a fifth, sixth, seventh round draft pick, or maybe undrafted.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like you said, it looks great on tape. It looks great on Twitter. The concern with Joe Milton isn't the 80-yard pass. It's everything under 20 yards, right? Like he can't hit it out pattern. Hey, he can throw the ball hard enough, far enough. He has the arm strength to make all the throws, but he can't make all the throws.
No.
He misses guys underneath bad left and right. So I'm going to say he's overrated as well. So that's been the latest edition of Overlooked or Overrated. Let us know what you think about our quarterbacks and what we think about them. Let's move forward to some combine results, Kramer. We'll kind of go through here pretty quickly. Guys that we think were either risers or fallers, and we'll just go group by group really quick. Okay. Wide receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr., to me, he's kind of stagnant. He didn't rise or fall, but like with these other guys, like I don't like the fact that he just like blew off the combine entirely, and he's not even doing a pro day. He's quote unquote getting ready for his rookie year. Listen, his dad's a Hall of Famer. He's the best. He might be the most talented player in this draft. Like, he might be number one on top of the draft board. But the fact that you're treating the process like this, like presumptively, that you're like, for me, he's now my wide receiver too. Malik Nabers did the same thing to the combine. Malik Nabers is my wide receiver one now, because at least Malik Nabers is presumably doing a pro day. But I respect the heck out of Roma Dunze and Troy Franklin, because they showed up. And even Troy Franklin, God bless him, I love Troy Franklin. He's too skinny. And guess what he said? They said, what's going to be your limitation when you get to the league? He goes, my size and getting off press man coverage. He goes, I got to hit the weight room and put on some muscle. Like, he knows it. That's what his strength is. He said his release package. They said, with Troy Franklin, they said, what about your 40 time? He said, my 40 time is not going to be as fast as you think or as fast as some guys, because I have long speed and I don't get up to top speed, but within 40 yards. Like, he's just like 100% honest and he knows football. So Troy Franklin, I thought, performed relatively well, pretty well like you would expect. Still needs to work on some drop issues. But based upon his interviews, love Troy Franklin. I think Troy Franklin is actually a riser for me. Romo Dunze was pushing Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., in my opinion. I've loved Romo Dunze since last year. Last year, Romo Dunze was the borderline first-round draft pick. He decided to come back for a year, and he's done nothing but look like a guy who should be playing on Sundays, who played in college football all year long. And Romo Dunze went out there and participated and did the drills. And so for that, oh, man, I almost want to make Romo Dunze my wide receiver one. I'm almost talking myself into Romo Dunze being wide receiver one, just sitting here. But I can't deny that the talent difference between Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Romo Dunze, because those guys, like Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., are just kind of like a league of their own.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is wide receiver one, just to be I don't care. He didn't show up to the combine. All I've heard from people at Ohio State, people like Bob Carpenter, the general, he always talked about, oh, no, he's just Marvin. Oh, no, he's just working. He's working on the jugs machine. Like, that's all I hear them talk about. No, he's working. He's always working. He's working. He's working. He's working. So I wouldn't worry about Marvin Harrison Jr. But one guy who broke the record, Xavier Worthy. I know I talked about him a little bit last week, if possibly if he's there for the Chiefs at 30, 32, if you want to get a wide receiver that's quick, go for it. I think with his speed and you know a team right now is like, man, that's a 4.2, 140. That's like, can you imagine him? I don't know, paired with Dak Prescott. Like, I could see the Cowboys up here.
Mark Davis is sitting in Las Vegas right now saying, oh, 4.2 speed. Oh, I love the next Henry Ruggs.
Okay. All right. Pump the brakes a little bit. We don't talk about Henry.
I love speed. DeSean Jackson played for us also at one point. Oh, we love speedy guys.
No, I think with Xavier Worthy, man, him coming out there just doing that, breaking the record. I mean, we get it. He broke John Ross's record, but then again, John Ross pulled whatever he did after he established the record, and then we saw how his career looked like. I mean, who knows with Xavier Worthy? But I think
Xavier Worthy is 25 pounds lighter than Kadarius Toney with shorter arms and smaller hands. Xavier Worthy weighs 165 pounds.
Soaking wet.
Devonta Smith is the exception to the rule, but Xavier Worthy isn't Devonta Smith. Like you can't play in the NFL at that size at wide receiver.
You'd be shocked. I feel like he could.
You can't play at that size and stay very healthy elusive, in though. The NFL. You
he was
can't
so
play
elusive
at that size
year.
And stay healthy. Like, I am out on Xavier Worthy. He's a great deep threat, but there's other deep threats in this draft. I'm out of Xavier Worthy in the first round. Let me say that. Like, if Xavier Worthy's sitting there in the third round, sure.
He's knock, getting drafted
knock,
in the first.
Knock, yeah, he is. But like, knock your socks off in the third round. But like, 165 pound, 5'11" guy in the first round because he's fast. No, thank you. No, thank you. But I know you. I know you love him. I know you love your small, fast guys. Another guy who really kind of I thought made a really strong case for himself was actually Jalen McMillan. I thought he tested really well. And Jalen McMillan was supposed to be the number two wide receiver at Washington coming into this year, but then he was injured, and then Jalen Polk kind of took off, right? But you watch in the championship game, in the national championship game, there's an argument to say that Jalen McMillan was the best wide receiver in that game for Washington. He had a really good game. So I think that he really stepped it up. Brian Thomas Jr., man, at 209 pounds, the guy's blazing fast. There's like he's my number one guy that I want the Chiefs to draft, but there's no chance he's making it to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to have to trade up to like 14, at least. Like they're going to trade up to 14 if they want a chance of getting Brian Thomas Jr. So I think Troy Franklin, like I said, he's a guy who I thought had a really good week, who did really really well. Adonai Mitchell, you want a guy from Texas? Adonai Mitchell is a much better route runner. He's bigger. He's still blazing fast. I'll take Adonai Mitchell in the first round all day long. You don't have to sell me on Adonai Mitchell. Adonai Mitchell is a straight-up stud. So I'll take Adonai Mitchell all day long in the first round.
I'm just happy Xavier Worthy sold himself at the combine. Like, that's exactly what he did. And that's why I thank you, Rose. Like, seriously. I love Brian Thomas Jr. And I talked about him last week. I think he's the second best wide receiver in this draft behind Marvin Harrison Jr. And I truly believe that. And if the Chiefs could get him, I would be floored for the Chiefs to do so. But you got to move up. Got to move up.
The guy that we got to be talking about also, that, and it's only 1 year of production, and that's kind of like the knock on him, is that he's a redshirt senior. He only had 1 year of production out of South Carolina, and that's Xavier Leggett. But the guy's 6'1", 221 pounds, and ran a 4.39 40. And the guy has a vertical. The guy's a physical freak. He showed out, had a great year at South Carolina. It's almost like their only offensive weapon. He only has 1 year of production. So is he that guy who's basically, you know, capped out at that 1 year? I think that he showed enough athletic upside. If he would have came out and ran a 4.5, then teams would have been kind of like, oh, I don't know about him. But he came out and ran a 4.3 40. Like, he showed that explosiveness as an athlete, where I think that I'm all in on Xavier Leggett in the first round, I think, as well.
And Ladd McConkey. And Ladd McConkey.
Oh, no. Forget Ladd McConkey. And Ladd McConkey met with the Chiefs guys, so Kramer's super excited.
Yes.
There's a report that Ladd McConkey met with the Chiefs at the Combine. There's also a report that that the Chiefs met with Xavier Worthy as well, allegedly, that Charles Goldman, I think, reported that
they need the Tyreek Hill replacement. He's right there.
But in the same article, I think there's also mentioned that the Chiefs may have met with Troy Franklin as well, too.
Ooh, I like Troy Franklin. I like him a lot. And I'm saving that for a little later on about Troy.
Okay, so moving on. Defensive tackles. Who you got at defensive tackle, Crane?
I think I might have found Chris Jones' replacement. Braden Fisk out of Florida State. This dude is a freak. Motor that doesn't stop. He reminds me a little bit of the reason why that I like saying motor doesn't stop, because I always hear it every single time I watch Raiders game with Max Crosby. He has a motor that never stops, apparently. Braden Fisk is the exact same way. Very good low center of gravity. He's able to strike anybody in front of him and get to the quarterback or even make a defensive tackle or heck, anything. And he's out here moving. He is quick for his size as well. Very strong. And I fell in love with this man. I fell in love with him, Rocky.
I've said all along that I'm okay with the Chiefs drafting Braden Fisk in the first round. I think that he's a first-round talent. I think the Chiefs may have to trade up for him. Now, at this point, Byron Murphy II obviously continues to rise up draft boards. The Chiefs aren't going to get a shot at him by any means. Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle out of Michigan. His dad played in the NFL. Looked awesome. He looked awesome. He's a physical freak. He tested really well. His tape is really good. He's a guy that should be on Chiefs radars, that if he's there at 32, that the Chiefs will probably snatch him up. Another guy, Mason Smith, had a really good combine as well, I think, for LSU. He tested well. And just, I think Caleb mentioned last week, just physical freak as far as arm size and everything goes. Leonard Taylor III could have tested a little bit better for as big of an impact player and a freak as he's supposed to be. Whether or not that pushes him down some draft boards, we'll have to see. But I still think that in the second round, if he's there, I think the Chiefs go for him. Moving forward.
No, especially with Jenkins, Michigan. Yes. Yes. Whatever. Yes. Like that dude is a stud. STUD all caps.
100% stud. Like Chris Jenkins is a first rounder. I think Braden Fisk, I think for the Chiefs, if Braden Fisk or Chris Jenkins are there at 32, that the Chiefs go defensive tackle at 32. Cornerback. This is such a deep cornerback class. I think Nate Wiggins for me made himself cornerback number one. Just because he ran the second fastest 40, he was already in the mix to be the top cornerback just based upon his tape. And then he comes out and just blows the doors off with that 40 time. He's just an athletic freak. There is no other word, anything around it. Other than that. And that's Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, the cornerback. I think that also besides him, both of the Florida State cornerbacks, Jerrion Jones and Renardo Green, we talked about Renardo Green last week. They're both just great press man corners. They both really excel at press man corners, and they both tested relatively well at the combine as well as Cam Hart. Cam Hart, I thought, had a really nice combine. He had some really nice athletic testing numbers. Cam Hart had almost a 40-inch vertical, which at 6'2" really is going to help you out.
Yes.
And those contested balls. Same with Jerrion Jones. Jerrion Jones is 6'1" and had almost a 40-inch vertical as well. So who'd you like at cornerback?
Of course, I mean, you already mentioned him, Nate Wiggins. He's the guy that stood out. I mean, if you're the fastest corner out there, you are a first-round draft pick. You better go out there and show out. He did. I do like DJ James out of Auburn, and also why can't I think of his name right now? The Missouri guy, Chris Abrams Drain.
Yeah, Chris Abrams Drain. Yeah,
like those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Abrams-Drain had a really nice combine. He really kind of he really confirmed what a lot of people already thought, is that he's going to be a solid NFL starter, and that he's kind of almost like a plug and play defensive player.
Like this cornerback, it's deep. Like, I think the secondary class is deep this year.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned Quinyon Mitchell, who also ran a 4.33 40, who also maybe had the greatest Senior Bowl of any prospect, and then also had an amazing campaign in 2023 playing for Toledo. Like if you want to make the argument that the Chiefs should trade L'Jarius Sneed and then draft a cornerback with a second round pick,
this is it.
This is it right here. This is the draft to do it in. And you know that Brett Veach can draft defensive backs and Dave Merritt's going to coach them up. So you feel pretty good about that. Linebackers, Peyton Wilson looked as good as we expected him to look. The guys, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowl linebacker. In my opinion, Edgerrin Cooper ran really well. That running 4.5 for a linebacker is a really fast time at a 40-yard dash for a linebacker and a guy his size. He's just that solid all-around guy too, where he can rush the quarterback, he can play run defense, he can cover a little bit. There's no, like, he's not like the guy where he does anything exceptionally well, but there's no real weakness to his game. Who'd you like at linebacker this weekend?
One guy that just doesn't really jump off the numbers at you, but I know for a fact the athleticism is there for linebacker. That's Steel Chambers out of Ohio State. He reminds me of a guy that could. I mean, I know he's undersized for himself, but he can lower himself in there to the linebacker role, and I think that he's just an athletic freak, and that's what you kind of want to look for some of these, especially here. And he has that sub linebacker athleticism to him, so why not kick the tires? Why not try?
Steel Chambers is a guy who's played multiple different positions in football, where he's just like the coaches just like want to get his athleticism on the field. Steel Chambers is an excellent athlete, so yeah, he's still kind of learning the linebacker position a little bit, so he may take a year or two to kind of really realize his full potential. But the same was with Leo Chenal. Like, we saw the same thing with Leo Chenal. Now Leo Chenal is a monster. Death row out there, baby.
Hey, could you possibly say the same thing for Willie Gay? Like, Willie Gay's rookie year was a little underwhelming, if I can even speak right now. And then his second year, he came on like, oh, well, this is a good draft pick. I'm glad they took him in the second round.
Yeah, Willie Gay was drafted purely on potential because he had some off-field issues and injury issues when he was in college, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't play a ton in college. And so, yeah, you can say the exact same thing for Willie Gay. Looking at edges, I really thought that Chop Robinson tested really, really well. You saw that explosiveness that he's known for at edge out of Penn State. I was really impressed with him. Jared Verse running a 4.58 40, but then also putting up the strength numbers that he did, putting up 31 reps on the bench press also. So having that size speed combination, Jared Verse is going to be a first rounder last year, and he decided to come back for another year at Florida State. And I think that Jared Verse, he's far and away my edge one at this point right now. Some lesser known guys, like, this isn't the deepest edge class. The Chiefs did meet with Darius Robinson, the Missouri defensive end as well. Some other guys who really kind of stood out was Muhammad Kamara. He's not the tallest guy. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the longest guy, but he's got great bend to him. The guy has a full pass rush package, and he's strong enough. He's not overly big or overly strong, but he's big enough and strong enough mixed with his skill set to be productive. And I think he showed enough at the combine, doing 23 reps, having a 4.57 40, those sort of things, to be able to make NFL teams feel comfortable with selecting him in like the mid rounds.
If I had one riser for this, for the edges, Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA, I think he put himself on there like, hey, I should be a guy you need to circle on your draft card of possibly wanting to be put my talents there. This guy hit 25 bench presses. He had a 4.68 40-yard time. He can jump. He can jump. He almost got a 40-yard vert. Not 40-yard. Good gosh. A 40-inch vert. He had a 40-yard vert. Now, that'd be something different. He's on the moon or something, jumping on there with no gravity. But, no, this guy is just an athletic freak at the edge, and there's a lot of raw talent and potential for him.
He had 10-3 broad jump along with him and Muhammad Kamara both had a 10-3 broad jump. So there's definitely some athletic juice there. Rolling around to today's performers, offensive tackle, offensive lineman in general. A lot of these guys kind of performed how you would expect them to perform. I think Troy Fontenot really kind of helped himself out with his arm measurements, coming in with over 34-inch arms, kind of solidifies that he is an actual left tackle prospect and not going to get pushed inside the guard, which a lot of people kind of were afraid of with him. Other than that, I think that Patrick Paul, who the Chiefs also met with, he measured off the charts. He looked really good. He looks really good moving in shorts. He ran pretty well. The problem with him is that he's more of a striker and less of a blocker, right? Like he kind of like it's like he gets over the top and he gets unbalanced a lot and gets out over his skis a bit and then tends to lose balance or get out of position. If a guy starts going one way and then changes directions, he has a hard time adjusting, even though he's extremely athletic. It's just that size. He gets top heavy and he gets kind of wibbly wobbly. But Tyler Guyton also, it was expected that Tyler Guyton would, out of Oklahoma, would test extremely well. He's still a very raw prospect though, because yes, you know, he was behind Wanya Morris, and we've talked about that, where how good is he if he's behind Wanya Morris. Amarius Mims tested exactly as well as you would expect Amarius Mims to test. The problem with Amarius Mims is he hasn't played football. We have no tape on him. I can't put a guy above tackle 7 or 8 if we have no tape. We know he's an athlete, but we don't know if he's a football player. You know,
and true. One of the guys that I actually, it stood out to me this time. I mean, he's a big man, 6'8", all of them. Mr. Frank Crum. There's a lot of work here, Rocky. There's a lot of work to be done. Very agile. He may not have the biggest arms in the world, especially for what Andy Reid wants. I know he's just a little bit 33 7/8, if I remember correctly. That's how his little arms are. His little arms, let's put quotes around that. So those aren't little. I like this guy. Very agile. He's a very work in progress, and that's exactly what the Chiefs need, is a very work in progress. You already mentioned Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. Like, that's also another guy that I did like. Still another work in progress. I don't see the Chiefs drafting at all very early on a offensive lineman, if it is a tackle or not. This is a bad draft if you're trying to look for your left tackle. It's such a bad draft, and it showed at the combine.
It definitely showed at the combine. This is a very bad draft for a left tackle. One guy that needs to be mentioned also is Talisi Fuaga. The Chiefs did meet with him. He confirmed that the Chiefs met with him, came in with short arms like we were expected. He also said at the combine that he can play left tackle, right tackle, and multiple teams asked him if he was okay with kicking into guard. I would imagine that the Chiefs even considered drafting him, that would be where they would consider putting him, because
isn't he like 6'7"?
He's like 6'4", but he has like, okay, he has like 32-inch or like barely 33-inch arms. They're too short.
He'd be a perfect guard.
He's a row grader. If you listen to his combine interview, like when you get done listening to this, go listen to Lise Fuaga's combine interview. It's amazing. He's awesome. He sits there and just talks about how, like, he plays for the name on the back because it's his father's name, and his whole goal is to make his dad proud. And when he sits there on the sideline, he looks across the way at the other team, and he considers them his enemy, and that they're trying to make him have a bad day, and he wants to make sure that they have a bad day and not him have a bad day, and how he just wants to knock people unconscious and run block, and he loves run blocking. And like, he's like, if you hear him talk, he says everything that you want an offensive lineman to say in an interview. And that's why he's also going to get drafted before the Chiefs have a chance to draft anybody. But you just want to hear a fun combine interview. His was a lot of fun to listen to.
Say his name one more time for me, because it sounds great off the tongue.
Talisi Fuaga.
Like it.
Literally, you want a great way to romance your significant others tonight. Crawl into bed with them, roll over, lean into their ears, and just say, Talisi Fuaga. Talisi Fuaga.
We need to get you on ASMR stuff, bud.
And they'll say, and your wife or husband or whoever will say, what's that you say? Let me bring up YouTube and I'll show you. Talise Fuaga. Anyway, those are any other combine prospects that you want to talk about before we move forward to the guys that we're going to plant our flag on, our final guys of the combine who we're planting our flag on and saying, this is our dude I want the Chiefs to get.
One guy beforehand, I talked about him last week, Dylan Lobby. He was out there throwing the DX chops the entire time. That's why I kind of wore the D-Generation X t-shirt for tonight for Dylan Lobby. Like, that's he's
You love your 5'4" white wide receivers.
That dude is he's a kick returner, punt returner, wide receiver slot. He's your fullback. He's your running back. He's your guy that gets it done.
He does get it done. He's great in the receiving game. As a late round draft pick, I honestly wouldn't mind that she's taking him. All right, Kramer, plant your flag. Of all the guys, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to give me one guy from the combine who above else you think that the Chiefs should draft him. And then I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to riz him up, to try to make the case to Brett Veach, Chiefs Kingdom, to the player themselves, why they should want to be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. So give us your guy, and then give us your shoot your shot of your greatest, you know.
So this is my pitch to Brett Veach.
Your pitch to Brett Veach or to the player themselves or to whoever, whatever you're feeling, baby. Like this is a free form sort of situation we got going on here.
So Troy Franklin out of Oregon definitely needs to be here in Kansas City. Imagine him paired up with Rashee Rice and clearly Travis Kelce. You got three playmakers on the field at a given time, no matter what. How many times did you have playmakers on the field at all during an 18-week season? Maybe one, maybe two. But if you go out and you draft Troy Franklin, who, I mean, he had some good moments at the combine. I mean, he went a 4.41 40-yard dash. I mean, that's pretty decent. That's good. He had a 10-yard split of like a second .6, I think, which personally to me, if it's me doing a split that way, I ain't making it that far. But this guy makes so many plays, has great hands, a lot of confidence, and a good built-in, especially being 6'2". I know he's a little on the lighter side, closer to 175, but he's going to put on some muscle. He's going to learn the routes, and he would be great in this system.
I don't disagree with you. I would absolutely be so happy if the Chiefs – they may have traded up a few spots.
I don't think they do.
I know. There's a lot of people that have him going around 20, but I've seen him go as late as like 42 though. So it depends if they have to move up to get him, because there's a lot of wide receiver thirsty, you know, teams out there. A lot of people out there in these streets, Kramer, just thirsting for wide receivers, just tossing cash at any wide receiver that passes. Well,
we know when one goes off the board, it starts the trickle down effect. We saw that this past year with Quentin Johnston.
Exactly what happened last year. Yeah, exactly what happened last year. So mine actually is a wide receiver as well. Let me set the mood here a little bit. I'm gonna turn the lights down low a little bit.
Ooh,
this one, I'm gonna drop my voice an octave or so. Hey Brett, how's it going, man? Let me tell you about my good boy over here, Jermaine Burton. Hey, Jermaine, can I call you Birdie? Yeah, I know you like to be called Birdie. Hey, Brett, let me tell you about my boy Birdie here. So Birdie, he's everything you've ever looked for in a wide receiver. He's fast. He's agile. He cares. He's a football mind. All he does is eat, sleep, and breathe football. He's a football player. He's played at the two biggest programs in college football. He played at Georgia and he played at Alabama. And all he did was produce at both places. Sure, he had an incident that he needs to account for. Birdie, you admit that it was a bad decision. I understand that. But there's nobody rushing the field in NFL games. Like, we have better security than that. And on top of that, I don't excuse anything that Birdie did. But we all know that the Tennessee Volunteers are kind of garbage fans. But Brett, that's all beside the point. You want a guy who can gear down and then gear back up again halfway through a route. You want a guy who can cut on a dime. You want a guy that can run the entire route tree just right off the bat. You want a guy that when you watch him play football, you're going to want to sit there and just like you just going to sit in bed tonight and on silk sheets, turn on YouTube and just watch his highlights. If you do that, Oh, Brett, you're going to want it, baby. You're going to want to draft Jermaine Burton in the first round. Birdie, I don't know what else to say. Your play speaks for itself. You guys, I mean, swipe right, Brett. Swipe right all day long.
But do we think he's going to be there? You think he's going to be there at 32?
I do think he'll be there at 32. I think Jermaine Burton will be there at 32. Or trade up for him. Trade up a few spots. I think that the Chiefs need to go out and get Jermaine Burton, though, as their first-round draft pick. I think that his off-field – well, his on-field, off-field situation is going to make him be there at 32.
That's fair.
So final little segment of the day is our sleeper of the week, and then we're going to get out of here. Kramer, who's your sleeper of the week?
Marshawn Nealon out of Western Michigan. I think that you can get a lot of, for some reason, Western Michigan has a very good program that brings in edge rushers, and they're able to pretty much workhorse everybody else at any given department. And he kind of showed it here at the combine with a 4.75 40-yard dash. No, it's not the best in the world, but this man had 21 bench press reps. His broad jumps a damn near a 10. And it's like his vert was 35 inches. Like, what's this guy's a freak. This guy is going to be able to move people around, and he's quick. He's agile. He's very good hand fighting. And there's just something at Western Michigan that they just have a great sense of building these types of edge rushers. And I think he's the sleeper of the week for this week for me.
I wonder why you like guys from Western Michigan at edge rusher, Kramer.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I might have 98 reasons why, but.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and playoff victories aren't one of them.
It's very true. It's not yet.
Not ever, let's be honest. Well, you're going to be really happy with my sleeper of the week, Slushing, because he's right up your alley. He's a guy close to your own heart. Okay. He looks and acts and behaves exactly the way that you want all your football players to look, act, and behave.
Okay.
I'm joking. I'm just giving Kramer a hard time. My sleeper of the week is Luke McCaffrey of the.
Perfect, dude! I love this guy.
Yeah, exactly. I knew you would like that. Like, he's your Dilla Lobby, Hunter Renfro, Ladd McConkey, small white guy that you want to play for every single NFL team.
And it's like a Danny Amendola out here.
Yeah, that's all you want. You want just the team packed full of those guys. But Luke McCaffrey of the storied McCaffrey family, Christian McCaffrey, is his brother. He's not nearly highly as touted as Christian McCaffrey coming out of college. He plays at Rice. He doesn't look the part. He doesn't necessarily – he runs well enough. He moves well enough. But he doesn't look like a stud football player, but he plays like a stud football player. He runs good routes. He just gets open. He makes catches. He's very sure-handed. Every single thing that you want a wide receiver to do, he's going to do it. He is in that kind of Wes Welker-ish type of mold, or that Hunter Renfro-ish type of mold that you want. But he's gritty. The thing that I like about him, the reason why he's my sleeper of the week, is he's gritty. There was a play. I can't remember who they're playing against. You'll find it if you watch his tape, where basically he was throwing the ball and he laid out and made a one-handed touchdown catch, came up with the ball and no helmet, right? Like, got his helmet knocked off, making a one-handed catch and secured the ball. Like, that highlight alone is enough for you to say, okay, this guy in the fourth round is worth it. So if the Chiefs are going to take a wide receiver at the top and then take a wide receiver in the middle or the back half of the draft, I'm okay with it being Luke McCaffrey out of Rice.
I like your sleeper, man. I do.
Watch his tape. He's fun. He's really fun to watch, and he actually had a pretty good combine. So anyway, we've gone a little long today yet again. We just love talking draft football and love talking free agency so much with you guys. Pete is on vacation this week, so I'm not actually sure if they're doing an editor show or not this week.
I don't know either.
But otherwise, every Wednesday throughout the offseason, when Pete's not on vacation, we'll be doing an editor show, so check that out. Fridays, we still have the AP draft room with our boy Ron Kopp Jr. And then everything that we got coming out on the website is after the combine, we have player profiles coming out, guys, where we're ramping up free agency. Got all your coverage covered for you for Chiefs football as we ramp up towards the draft and in free agency. So pay attention. Check out Kramer Sansones at Fountain City Pro Wrestling. We're so happy and proud of you, buddy. Other than that, everybody be good to each other. As always, if you feel like this is a good use of your time, thank you for the privilege of your time. And if you think we made a good use of it, leave us a 5-star review and tell us why. If you don't think we made a good use of it, still leave us a review and tell us how to get better. All feedback is a gift. We love you guys. Have a great week.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.